League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Don't sweat the technique. Broadcasting live from McCormick and Schmick's at Town & Country as part of ESPN Houston's Summer Circuit.
Presented in part by our grand prize sponsor, Power On E-Bikes.
From the mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
One of the books, two to go, second hour of the show. It is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 FM. Coming to you live from McCormick and Schmick's in Town & Country. It is an unbelievably beautiful environment in here. Fantastic happy hours in full swing. The number one happy hour in America, voted by USA Today. It is world class. It is phenomenal, and you can be a part of it up until 6:30 tonight. Food is always fresh, always great. We've got fresh fish and oysters flown in daily. 7 days a week, two-course lunch deals, $18. 7 days a week, three-course dinner deal, $35. Live music starting July the 31st, every Thursday and Friday from 6 to 9. They have three private dining rooms as well. Stop in and see us, and then join everybody in here right now as it's starting to fill up even more for happy hour and then a good dinner tonight or maybe a lunch tomorrow. Guys, I tease this. I hate doing this to you, but after coming off the Yordan news, it's also Chandler Rome also had an update on Spencer Arrighetti. Brian, this is something that we kicked around a little bit even yesterday about the fact that Spencer Arrighetti, we're not talking about an elbow reconstruction. We're not talking about a rotator cuff. He broke his thumb. He broke his thumb. And at the time, we looked at the time for how long a broken thumb should take. I think it was 6 to 8 weeks maximum. He was supposed to be back sometime in June. Here we are in July, and here is the latest on Spencer Arrighetti's return. Dana Brown confirmed that Christian Javier and Luis Garcia could be back in a month. Arrighetti's recovery and timeline has been slower. Unlike those two, he has yet to embark on a minor league rehab assignment, and he's only in the live batting practice stage of his work to get back to the major league roster. Assuming Arrighetti does advance to the minor league rehab assignment portion of his recovery, assuming, and that's a big assumption at this point, his return would be likely closer to September. So here we go again. We've got another delayed return. In this case, when you have a broken thumb, it seems pretty literally cut and dried that the thumb heals, you get back to throwing, you get ramped up, 6 to 8 weeks later, you're ready to go. We're talking about, again, a missed deadline, a significantly longer period of time before he's even close to possibly returning, and a guy that's easily in the running for your third best starter is a guy that you might not have until September when you're still in a pennant race.
Yeah, I mean, it's beyond, like, an injured thumb on April 7th. I mean, I think we talked about the time when he injured it. Like, okay, we expect him back in June, like sometime in June. And we don't have the details like we do with Yordan and with Pena and with others, or Jake Myers certainly, of how it was mishandled. But given all what we know and that has happened over the last few months and the last couple of years, it feels like there has to be a mishandle somewhere, or at least some missing piece of information. Maybe it was more than just the broken thumb, because there's no way I can wrap my head around a timeline of a broken thumb, 6 to 8 weeks, happens April 7th, he's back in September. That's not 6 to 8 weeks. That's 75% of the season.
And again, if we were talking about, like, vagueness of he had discomfort in his throwing arm or elbow, you know, or forearm or rotator cuff, and then it got significantly worse, you'd understand. Like, it's vague. At the time, we don't even know, because they don't even know what significant level is what he's dealing with. Instead, if it's a broken bone in your thumb, it would seem to be that, hey, you put a cast on that bad boy or you get it healed, then he starts gradually ramping it up, throwing more, and in 6 to 8 weeks he's ready to go. Yet here we are.
I mean, I guess the only other thing I can add to this whole thing is some people heal differently than others. That's all. You know, I mean, some people.
It is, but such a large. Like, if it was, well, he's supposed to miss 6 weeks, but it was nine. Like, okay, that, yeah, some people heal differently. But it's 6 weeks, and it's, like, 3 months, 4 months?
Yeah.
Like, that's such a large gap.
But you also
that it's hard
don't
to
know,
explain
like, you also just, don't know, like, if he goes out there and re-aggravates it or re-injures
that's
it.
That's the
or,
missing information that we might not
yeah,
get. Yeah,
and they're not going to tell you that, and they're not going to say why or, you know, what. That's exactly what happened with Luis García, you know? He was almost back. I mean, I think he was
a couple times.
Yeah,
yes.
and
shut down.
Do you blame their staff? Do you blame him? Is it just a case of where, you know, does he just have LMJ?
LMJ
disease. Does he have LMJ disease? Is he just Mr. Glass this year? I mean, so I don't know. People just, you know, some people just heal different, get better different. But I'm not letting them off the hook.
I mean, look, to me at this point, Barry, it's not even about the medical staff. To me, the most important thing is exactly from a different perspective what we were talking about with Yordan in the fact that these are significant pieces that we were anticipating sooner rather than later, especially if you listen to Dana and his accelerated comeback strategies, that these guys at some point were going to factor back into this team so that you don't, because you are limited with how much, before you go over the tax, you are limited with how deep your farm system is to go out and get other players. So you're thinking, and I've said over and over again, I believe if this team just gets healthy, it's like going through the trade deadline and getting several pieces because you would get so much talent back that could help you this season. Now we're talking about two of maybe the most important pieces being guys that we just don't know anything about when they might be returning when you talk about your number three starter in Arrigetti and your best overall hitter in Yordan.
Yeah, and the problem is, you know, you don't want to go out and make moves if you don't have to because getting those guys back is like making moves, and you don't deplete your farm system for half a season if you don't have to.
And so you don't tick off your owner too by going way over the tax. If you say you traded for a guy that had a significant salary.
Right.
You don't have to do that if you get some of these guys back. You don't have to do it as much.
Right.
So that's why I think it's not even about the medical staff anymore. I think, and probably rightfully so, at this point, they're probably going to deal with the medical staff if they do it all in the off season, which I think it's imperative they do. But I think for right now, it's just about these guys are guys that I was counting on. Like a broken thumb, I'm not thinking Arrigetti's done for the year. I mean, Brian looked it up yesterday. It wasn't even in April, I don't think.
April 7th.
Or it was April 7th.
It was
okay.
April 7th.
So it was the first week in April he does this. And if you'd have told me then, oh, he'll be back maybe late July or August, I'd be like, you're out of your mind. But I'm banking on the fact that he's going to still be a part of this rotation. Now, I'm not so sure, and even more so with the impact that Yordan has had with this franchise, I got to have that guy back, left-handed bat or not. That is the biggest, most powerful man in the middle of your lineup that could still hit close to 300. I got to have that guy back.
Yeah. Yeah. Wish I had to answer.
I know. That's what I think
we
all do.
Want to take a call on this? We got Chuck on the line. He wants to talk about the Astros medical staff.
What's up, Chuck?
What's up, boys? Welcome back, Barry, for a couple days. Hey, man. Dude, this is all on Jim Crane by now. If you ain't embarrassed about how your team's handling medical situations, you need to become in a different line of business. I know you make a lot of money not by being nice, like Barry said earlier and all that, but incompetence is something you just cannot stand for at this level all this time. This is ridiculous, guys. I'll say it again until I hear from Jim Crane. I don't trust anything they got to say. Peace.
Appreciate you, Chuck. Barry, appreciate you as well. His headset was a little acting up when he said it was great to hear you back on the air. Chuckster,
nice.
Long time, not a first time. Well, we appreciate you. Look, I think it also goes to what you said, Barry. It's not just that I need to hear from Jim Crane. It's the fact that Jim Crane and Dana Brown are going to start to hear from GMs and pertinent people across the league in terms of how much they don't trust and they have serious questions about what is actually going on with this franchise.
Yeah. You want to lead the league in a lot of things. IL stints is not one of them. That's for sure.
Missed injury returns. Yeah.
Misdiagnoses and missed MDs. Return dates.
Yeah.
Most MDs. Hands not actually healed.
Yeah.
missed imaging.
Yeah.
I mean, all these things. Oh, we're going to learn from our mistake. So your best offensive player is your guinea pig to learn from so that, oh, by the way, I don't handle Zach DiCenzo the same way that I handled Yordan Alvarez. Yeah. Handled the key, but, I mean, come on, man. And this is bad.
And then, oh, by the way, we're still going to make the same mistake with Pena and with Jake Myers.
Yeah. Like, you say you're going to learn from your mistakes, yet the mistakes just keep compounding and happening over and over again. That's why I said I would have had heads roll before right after the Jake Myers thing, and I would have had them roll before then. Now I don't think they'll do anything before the end of the year. I just hope that it doesn't affect them any further.
Astros are first in whip, second in batting average against BAA, fifth in ERA, and first in DC. Discomfort. Mm-hmm. you never want to leave the league in discomfort. That's not good.
Yeah, no,
my goodness.
All right, so that leads me to the next question.
Okay.
And for all of you in the Hive, we want to hear exactly what you have to say as well. Just like yesterday, your participation in this is always fun and games. Like to hear from all of you. But because of what we just got done talking about, what we just kicked around in the first hour, about all the things with Yordan, with Arrigetti, with the potential of whatever's going on with Hunter Brown, what are you doing before the deadline? What are you wanting to do? What do you need to do? What's the position? Or is it a left-handed bat? Is it a starting pitcher? A relief pitcher? What do you need to see this team do before the trade deadline to make this team better and make you feel better about this team? 713-780-3776. Call that number. Text that number. Hit us up on social media. Hit us up on Twitter. We're on the YouTube. And we'll get into that next, because I think that as much as prior to this, I wasn't worried about if they made a move or not before the deadline. Now, whether Dana's a wheeling, dealing son of a gun or not, I just feel like they got to do at least one thing, if not some things, between now and the trade deadline. We'll be back with much more. It is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 FM.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from McCormick and Schmick's at Town & Country as part of ESPN Houston's Summer Circuit.
Presented in part by our grand prize sponsor, Power On E-Bikes.
From the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's the Killer Bees, Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Jeremy out the rest of the week enjoying some vacation time. That means in is my good friend and former co-host on The Usual Suspects, Barry Laminack, along with our trusty man of many skills, Brian McDonald.
I wasn't sure where that was going. I mean, I was a little nervous. I was a little nervous there.
I was nervous for you, buddy. I was nervous for you.
You'd be like Barry. You mentioned sciatica again. I don't know what was going on.
Brian behind the glass. Brian Payne in the end. It's all part of host of the bullpen. Mm-hmm. You know, it's all these different things.
Brand lump, entrepreneur.
Lump crabbed into
spokesperson
one.
Spokesperson for Old Humble Distilling Company.
See,
nice.
You give him an inch, he takes a mile, and then he starts trying to drive it down the road.
Yeah.
We're at McCormick & Schmick's in Town & Country Center. It is fantastic out here if you're in the Katy area. Beautiful shopping environment, but beautiful restaurant with lots of great deals and an incredible happy hour going on right now. Voted number one in America by USA Today for their world-class happy hour. 3:30 to 6:30 weekdays. Lots of fun and games going on with great food and beverage. Join us as well as all the great food during the week and the weekend. It's an unbelievable spot to get some good food and beverage and then do some shopping. We've been talking about Astros a lot today, and we know that the news has not been great. So with the fact that Arrigetti, we don't know when he's supposed to come back, but he's just to the point now where he's throwing some BP sessions. We know that Yordan is delayed yet again, and he's still not swinging a bat. We know that Hunter Brown is not going to pitch in the Seattle series, and whether he needs rest or, God forbid, it's more, that he is a guy that you might have to have some concerns about. What does that do for your guys' thought process in terms of how Dana handles the trade deadline? Because, like I said, going into this and going into break, if they did nothing going into the deadline and I just knew that everybody was going to get healthy, I'd be good. But because you don't know what you don't know, and now you know enough to know that there's even more concern with at least those three guys, what do you do? And where do you start?
Because you don't know what you don't know, and now you know enough.
Right, because you don't know if they're going to be healthy in return, but you know enough to know that you got to be concerned and start thinking about what's my insurance policy? What's my backup plan?
Man, I said this on – you know I got to get a cheap plug in once a show.
You should.
I said this
go
on,
for it.
I said this on my show last week.
Did I go throw out the name? Get
the
plug in.
I never do. I try not to take advantage of it. But maybe I said this – maybe
don't,
it was,
definitely don't say Barry on deck.
Thank you. But maybe it was 2 weeks ago. But here's the problem before I even say the name. Here's the problem with the Astros doing anything. They're really not going to be able to compete with too many teams as far as going after – anybody of value, mm-hmm. because they just don't have the capital in their farm system to compete for anybody within the top 10 or 20.
Yeah, if you get in a bidding war, you're probably screwed.
Exactly. But Jaren Duran, it solves a ton of problems for this team. Now, you got to deal with his salary, and what does that do for this team and the luxury tax, and is Crane willing to do that? But can you compete with, I think it's the was the Padres or the Phillies or the Royals?
The Padres, definitely.
Yeah, I heard the Padres.
Yeah, I know the Royals might be in on him too. And so I was trying to find all the teams that were after him. But that's, to me, that's got to be, like, if that's not the first pin on the board for the Astros, then they're not doing something right. But that checks so many boxes. That solves left field. You can put Altuve back at second. That's a left-handed bat. He's defensively, you ain't got to worry about anything because you can move him back to center if you wanted to until Myers is healthy. Like, you can put him back at left when Myers comes back. You know what I mean? Like, it just, it's a left-handed bat.
So you're going bat first. Yeah, Brian, where are you at?
Yeah, I'm going bat first as well. I think of the two sides, I'm more – convinced that returning players fixes the pitching side than I am about the offensive side because of that, especially because of the report today that we got from Chandler Rome about Yordan. Like, yep. It feels like even if they get him back, it's probably not until September, and they get him back, it's not full 100% Yordan. Mm-hmm. So I'm not particularly confident in any one individual Astros starting pitcher coming back. But with the amount of people they could get back, I have a good feeling that at least one of them will come back. It kind of solved that issue for the Astros, whereas I don't really feel like that with the offense. So,
well, I mean, they did say Javier had a rehab start already.
Yeah, so what I'm saying. But between Javier and Luis Garcia and Eric Geddy and J.P. France, like, you got enough throws at the dartboard.
Why are you making that face, Joel?
Because, again, because I hate to actually 150 triple down on the fact that it's good Javier is making a rehab start. You know who had the surgery first? Javier or Garcia?
Garcia.
And you know how close he is? Behind Javier. Ain't good. But, yeah, I think you're right. If you get a Javier back, look, and you get our Eric Geddy back at some point, those are two starters right there. If Garcia's the other guy in the mix, phenomenal. Because now your 3, 4, and 5 are probably better than most teams in the league that you're going to face short of – I mean, and the Yankees don't have Gerrit Cole. You know, the teams in the American League – You got Detroit that's got Skubal and Flaherty, but overall, I would put the Astros. If you get two of those, I've said all along, two of those guys back, you have the best starting pitching in the American League playoffs. I believe. I think Kansas City's got some good starters too. I think there's some other teams that you can say they're pretty good,
especially if they get Cole Reagans back, which I don't know if they will.
But I'll take that.
I mean,
offensive perspective, though, if you don't have Yordan Alvarez for the playoffs, no matter how good and how you've been able to not only tread water but be in first place, if you don't have Yordan in the playoffs, I think you have a huge deficiency offensively.
Well, that's why I say Jaren Duran helps with the bat. But that's why I jokingly was making that. Yeah, I made that joke about leading the league in discomfort, but I threw out a couple of stats ahead of it to set it up. But they are number one in WHIP. They are number two in batting average against and fifth in ERA. This is a really good pitching staff despite all the injuries. So, yeah.
But, guys, here's the thing.
They can still get it done. But, again, like I said earlier, it changes in the playoffs. It really does. But and that still becomes a concern.
You said a name. You didn't say a name. But here's the thing that, regardless of you have a name in mind or not, that you have to factor in. Great that you guys are both settled in on a bat, right? But here's the problem. The problem is you're going to have to see what that – and Duran's making enough money, you're going to push you over the tax. So Jim Crane's got to be on board with that, and you got to deal with that.
You just got to have the assets to get it.
But that's what I'm saying. It's a twofold proposition. It's one, that you're going to be over the tax. It's two, what are you giving up? Because I know that the Red Sox have a massive surplus of young talent in their outfield with young players. And they could afford to lose Durant. But they're going to want something back, and more than one something, and you've got to be able to fulfill what they need. And like you said, Barry, if you get in a bidding war, that makes it even more difficult because you're going to overpay.
Yeah. And remember, they gave up what little you had left last year for
Yusei Kikuchi.
Yeah. So,
but I don't know. Like, I look at this farm system. I know it's not, like, rated a top 10. It's not even – maybe not even top half. But between the guys that they've drafted recently, I forget the catcher's name out of Sam Houston State.
Yannick.
Yeah, between Yannick and Bryce Matthews and some of the other – the pitchers – who's the pitcher that Jeremy's in love with? Starts with a U. Yeah. There's enough guys there. I think they can get one. Now, I agree with you. They can't compete against other teams over three or four prospects. Like, they couldn't go Yankees and, like, completely overhaul, you know, one part of their team. But if there's just one guy they want to go out and get, I think they've got enough to go get that done.
I love the fact that Jared Duran's young, too. I think he would fit in really well.
He's got...
what, 3 years?
Four including this year. He's on his arbitration here, club option next year. So, yeah. ARB 4 in 2028 and then an unrestricted free agent in 2029. So that's the perfect kind of guy for the Astros.
As long as he doesn't spout out and tell the fans exactly how he feels.
Yeah.
Oh, he'll do that.
He's known to let it fly.
Yeah, no doubt.
Do that plenty.
But. So we got 90 in the books, 90 still to go. Second half of the show coming up next. We got plenty more to get to, and it all involves you guys. We can change gears a little bit, get off the Astros a little bit, but we've got to – is Pete still there? Because if Pete's still there
– yeah, yeah.
We'll get Pete in, and then we'll start transitioning to get into some Texans Pete. Talk as well, because training camp starts – next week for the Texans as well. But plenty more to get to. If there's something on your mind you want to get off your chest, 713-780-3776. Call, text, hit us on social media. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 FM.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
We're back with the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from McCormick and Schmick's at Town & Country as part of ESPN Houston's Summer Circuit.
Presented in part by our grand prize sponsor, Power On E-Bikes.
From the mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Jeremy's out the rest of the week. My good friend Barry Laminack sitting to my left. Brian McDonald sitting to my right. We are at McCormick and Schmick's in Town & Country. It is absolutely fantastic right off I-10 and the Beltway. Lots of great shopping opportunities, but the best thing is McCormick and Schmick's. Phenomenal food and the best happy hour in the country, according to USA Today. Great people, great atmosphere. It's pretty full right now. The bar is very full. The restaurants start to fill up a little bit as well, but you'll fill up if you get here with good food, good beverages, great happy hour specials, and specials on the menu all week long. We were talking Astros significantly, guys, because of all the news that we were able to cover with Arrigetti, with Yordan, with Hunter not being in the rotation for the first three games of the Seattle series, and then what to do coming out of the break and getting ready for the trade deadline if indeed you need to worry about even just one of these guys. What do you want to see this team do? What do you guys out there listening to this show, what do you want the Astros to do at the trade deadline, and what are you willing to give up? Pete's been holding patiently on the line. Pete, you want to get in here. What do you got?
Hey, guys. Real quickly, I would like to see the Astros trade for some offense, a left-handed bat. I just don't know if they have the assets to pull it off. And as far as the IL, if they can get Pena, Javier, and Garcia back, it would make things a lot better and change, hopefully, the course of the season, because the way the offense played the last six games, if that's any indication, and depending on what happens with the Mariners series, could go a long way in determining what happens over the next 2 months until Yordan returns. And honestly, I don't think whatever comes out of those next 2 months, either Yordan's coming back or they're just going to put him on the shelf for the year. And that's all I've got.
Thanks, Pete. Appreciate the call. I think that it's fair for anybody to have serious concerns, whether it's Yordan or anybody else that we mentioned, and the return date of any of the guys that we've talked about, just because of what we've already talked about.
Yeah.
So I think that from the standpoint of it also has to get to, it's easy to say a Jared Durant, but as we started getting into it before the break, what are you giving up? Now, Chaz McCormick hit a home run down in Florida yesterday.
Send him.
Look, I think we can
ship it.
We can joke about it, but I think
ship it.
I think Chaz is better.
Bryce, get
than
ready,
Cooper
buddy.
Hummel. I think he's better than Tyler Trammell.
What a bar to clear.
I think he's better than Corona.
Yeah.
So I think it's one thing to say Chaz is a guy I'd like to see get back into the lineup and see what he can do, because really he hasn't had a fair shake all year because of the fact that Cam Smith got brought up and started to hit, and some of the guys that, you know, he was supposed to start in the outfield at the start of the year, and then all of a sudden Cam Smith was your right fielder, and that changed everything with Altuve in left and Jake in center. And then he was basically only bunting when he was hitting, and then he got hurt. So you don't know what you don't know, but is Chaz a guy that more teams that would have interest in because he's been a major league outfielder that can play good defense, that possibly, if depending on which
don't
Chaz
you know
McCormick
enough
you
know
get.
About Chaz, though? You know enough.
Okay, but
you
I'm
know
saying
what he is, and you know what he's not.
Chaz is not the centerpiece of any trade.
No, it's not the centerpiece. But is that something where you avoid dipping too deep into your farm system?
Eh.
Like, you have all these pitchers. Are there teams that are going to want to look for a fifth starter that would look at a Colton Gordon? Or do they have to have Eulola? Are you looking at, you know, we saw Blue Ball once. We probably won't see him again. And is that something where the luster's already off of him? Or is that something where other teams still find value in him? Because we also know that Dana Brown's probably, and rightfully so, particular about who he wants to keep, primarily guys he's drafted. And he probably already has drawn his conclusions and opinions on guys that click, and if you still have Luno guys, that they have. So we're looking at trying to make moves. And like I said, I'm all in on Durant, but at what price? And if that price is pitching and the Red Sox need it, then what pitchers are you giving up, and how far are you going to?
Lance McCullers Jr., Chaz McCormick, and a fruit basket. Ship it.
No, I'm not.
You're out on the fruit basket
nah.
Too much.
That's where I draw the line.
Too much.
Nah.
Dang it.
Well, hold on. What fruit's in this
basket? Tomatoes.
Technically a fruit, but sure,
ship it. I knew it.
If you said avocado, I'd be out. I'm
oh,
not
really?
Sending avocados.
You're not sending avocados?
No. I like them too much.
Yeah. Joel, huh? You go
I mean,
that?
You can go to HEB and sample the ones you want.
That's, yeah, just take a bite,
just
put it back.
Your, yeah.
Just the key is you got to flip it over so they don't
okay.
see the bite.
I don't want to out somebody at our station.
Uh-oh.
But, Barry, do you you mentioned the dude that opened the paste jar. He put
yeah,
two fingers.
For those of you that weren't
like,
here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you didn't hear it, Barry was at the grocery store, caught some guy opening up a salsa jar and eating it with two fingers straight from the jar.
Yeah,
and putting
then put
it
the
back
jar
on
back
the
on the shelf. Yep.
There's someone at the
Nasty.
Station who, when they brought up banana pudding, for some reason didn't go to our break room, which is, you know where, it's not that far from the studio.
No.
And they have spoons there right next to the coffee machine. Instead, this person, I'm not going to name names, but he may scout NFL draft prospects, and he may work on the morning show. For some reason, this person, instead of going to get a spoon, just used two fingers to
oh,
get his banana pudding.
My.
What?
During the show, just two fingers.
What?
Yes.
During whose show?
During his show.
Oh, my
the whole,
goodness.
The whole
cup thing.
Of pudding?
The whole thing.
He just fingerspooned
just
it.
Just fingerspooning.
What?
Do you
what kind of savage,
dirty dog,
barbaric caveman?
I'll save my comments till we go to break and leave my mic hot. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, if you don't know, then you know. Yeah.
That is awful.
Yeah, yeah.
Are you kidding me?
It's savage.
Like, you've seen the commercial, right? Like, how do you sleep at night when you see the guy dip into the dip with a chip and he sticks his fingers in there and he, like, you know, and then they play the Lionel Richie song and it's on a mattress from Mattress Firm, so I sleep all night
that's
long.
That's gross.
I mean, that's the same kind of thing. You're going to dump two fingers, scoop
banana
pudding.
And you know other people from the station are going to eat that.
First of all.
Well, it was individual containers.
Listen.
Oh.
It wasn't one. Like
that,
well,
that,
would
that,
be,
that makes
even
a big
worse.
Difference.
Yeah, of course.
No,
of course.
First of all.
It doesn't make it better, but it's different.
Pause. First of all, what kind of grown-ass man is eating banana pudding?
I mean,
I don't like
I'll
it.
Raise my hand there.
You eat banana
yeah,
pudding?
Yeah, I'm not a fan
good.
Of it either.
It's
I could,
good.
But I don't like it. I mean, it's not that I don't like it. I would rather have something else.
Of all the snack choices in the world, bro?
I'm not saying I'm going out and eating
like
it on the
banana pudding is the carrot
what if
cake?
Someone makes it?
Banana pudding is the carrot cake of dessert.
You just said it was like the plastic cup. You buy it?
Well, no. Like, someplace brought this up when this unnamed
person.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You know how they bring food to the station.
No. I thought it was one of those ones where you go out and you buy, like, the Jell-O four-pack and you break one off.
Nothing
and you're like
that.
I'm taking a snack to work. Bro, you brought banana pudding? All right.
No.
That's who packed your lunch? Man, you little rascal. Like,
I mean,
what? Yeah, that's not a snack choice I'm making unless somebody brings it and
right.
It's free.
Yeah,
okay. He's off the hook for
banana
that.
Banana pudding is the carrot cake of pudding.
That's pretty accurate. Yeah, facts. Yeah. That's
'cause I'm not sure what that means.
It means I'm not a fan. If I have a choice of all kinds of dessert and cake and carrot
vanilla,
cake, I'm taking everything
chocolate.
Else probably before I take carrot cake.
Yeah.
If I'm going pudding, I'm
you
going
take
chocolate.
Vanilla pudding
vanilla.
Over
yeah.
Vanilla
oh, my
pudding?
God,
100%.
Yes.
Every day, all day.
Yeah, absolutely.
If it's the cheap stuff and it's literally just the pudding, okay. But if it's like actually like homemade and done well with the vanilla wafers and all that, you'd still take plain
vanilla
pudding
chocolate.
Over
absolutely.
Banana pudding?
Vanilla,
absolutely. You guys are crazy.
I'd go vanilla,
absolutely.
Then chocolate, then I'll pass, then banana.
Yeah, I'm not a big banana
then
pudding
then you'll talk
guy.
To the door-to-door salesman.
Yeah. Vanilla, then chocolate, pass. What else we got? I'll skip it. I'm on a diet. I just got diabetes.
That's like
then
people,
I'll take banana pudding.
And the same thing, like
the chocolate. Yeah.
People will fight tooth and nail for carrot cake. I'm like,
I don't get it.
I don't understand it at all. It's a vegetable in a cake.
Yeah.
When I could have chocolate or vanilla or strawberry or whatever.
Yeah. I mostly agree with you. I will say, free plug for this place. But Trulux has a carrot cake that is unbelievable.
Nope. Don't care how
don't
unbelievable
care.
It is. Trulux also has a lot of other desserts that I would probably go to in a heartbeat before I touch carrot cake.
So close-minded.
No, just so smart and intelligent with selectiveness
carrot.
In terms of how much I want to enjoy dessert.
You just described close-minded.
No.
Like
particular about having something that I like the taste of.
Can't wait to have some celery cake. Like, what? Just...
Bro,
no
you're
thanks.
Not biting into a whole carrot.
No thanks.
It's 90% cake.
No thanks.
Well, that 10% is going to kill you.
Yeah.
No,
Blech.
Quite the opposite, actually.
Yeah. Gross. No thanks.
Nuh-uh.
I like my desserts made out of dessert stuff. Sugar.
Plain-ass vanilla pudding or banana pudding.
That's
is
just
crazy.
Like ice cream, bro. Just give me vanilla ice cream. Man.
I didn't know you were so basic.
Just keep it simple, man. Can't go wrong with the simple stuff. Like, you start making it all fancy, like pistachio ice cream and stuff like that. Like, man, that's disgusting. No thanks.
Wait, what was the segment about?
It's about...
was it about the Astros?
People eating their snacks with their fingers. That's terrible.
Savages.
And nobody... Did anybody, like, say anything at
the
time?
Oh, Dale called him out.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would hope so,
yeah,
man.
Dale called him out.
My goodness.
Someone said, I hope that he doesn't turn into Yordan McCullough Alvarez.
Yeah.
That's a concern, right? I mean, we've talked about it in the past that he has all these different injuries, like he fireworks smoke and, you know, and all these other things to where as much as you got him on a team-friendly deal, at a certain point you do have to start worrying about is he injury prone and how if this is just going to be who he is.
Yeah, not.
By the way, 713-780-3776. Your thoughts on which pudding you would take, banana over vanilla, and carrot cake versus any other cake.
Carrot
which
cake
I,
just sounds like old people dessert.
I can't even believe we're having that discussion.
God.
Sounds nasty.
It does.
So
I have tried it, which is why I don't want to try it.
You don't.
I bet you eat flan, too, don't you? You're like, this is good stuff right here.
I mean, if it was free, give me three, but no, I don't eat. I don't often eat flan?
Is that what it's called?
Flan, I think it's flan.
Adrian says banana pudding is the best. Y'all are crazy.
Yeah, see? Thank you, Adrian.
Well,
banana pudding is better than carrot cake, and that ain't by much.
I'm pretty sure Adrian also has a crack habit. So
wow.
We're going to go
seems
there.
Seems fairly aggressive.
Yeah. Well, you
someone
know,
saying they like banana pudding.
Well,
banana pudding equates crack problem.
Pretty much. I mean, I have it on good authority, which is no authority, but that's better than, you know. Most so.
Anti-authority.
Sources say he has
sources
a crack
say.
Habit. Yeah. I see. I'm like a blogger.
I can neither confirm nor deny.
I'm like a blogger. Look at me.
If true, this is huge.
Yeah.
Thank you, Ryan.
Great.
All right, we're going to go to break. We're going to come back. We got a whole lot more planned up. A little over an hour still to go on the show. We'll get some Texans talk out of the way for Joe. I mean, we're going to talk about it because camp opens up next week. The Chargers, by the way, opened up today. So, therefore, it's real, people. It's close, and it's real close to happening if you're a Texans fan. Texans go to camp next week. Before you know it, we'll be looking at preseason games, and football is back, baby. We're going to talk about that and a whole lot more. It is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, I think.
All right, quick second to take a shout-out for poker players out there. You may want to head out to Texas Card House in Spring this afternoon, where Hijack Poker is going to be out there from 2 to 8. They're doing some exciting in-person-only promotions. You got to go out there in person to take advantage of this great deal. Plus, they have a great game this evening at 6 p.m., where a $40 buy-in comes with a $4,000 guaranteed payout. That's right, a $40 buy-in, just a $40 buy-in with a $4,000 guaranteed payout. That's it. The Texas Card House. So get out to Texas Card House in Spring today. I-45 North at Spring Cypress. TexasCardHouse.com.
The best in Houston sports talk is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
The Killer Bees do a great job most of the time.
Crushed it, literal mic drop.
But sometimes they need a little help to make sure they're talking about the right topics that, well, make the most money.
This is how you're going to make the money.
That's why it's time for the... Wait, Joe, are you forcing them?
Just tell them to talk football.
Okay, okay. Jeez, you're the boss. Here's the Killer Bees corporate mandated football segment.
Yeah, as Michael Carroll just told you, we got to do what we got to do. So let's talk a little Texans football. As I mentioned going into the break, Texans get to training camp next week. Football will be full-blown upon us, and it will be a joyous time for everyone as we start making roster cuts in our minds and evaluating position competition. But in the meantime, Texans, I guess, new center, Jake Andrews, was doing a little interview with the Texans team guys, Texans radio guys, with John and Mark, and started talking about when he was asked what this offense may look like this year and his thoughts on the offense and his offensive line coach in Popovich.
The ball is going to be run, I'll tell you that much. We're going to run the football. Taylor's doing a good job with putting all that stuff together. We're going to protect CJ or whoever's back there. Try to make it us five up front. We're going to try to make it our life's work to not have anybody in his lap or touching him at all. Yeah, we're going to pound the rock, and we're going to air it out. We're going to keep people on their toes, and we're going to play tough physical football, and people are going to know when they wake up on Monday morning that they just got done playing the Houston Texans.
I like Jake, it. You've had...
Now, we hear that. How are you guys feeling about... It's one thing to say it, but we know you got to do it, right? Like, I think it's... If you just polled Texans fans right now, regardless of anything else with this team, I think it is the number one concern that still has not been rectified in their mind. They don't care who they drafted. They don't care who they brought in. They don't care what money was spent. They don't feel very comfortable about this offensive line. Now, it's great to hear a guy that played for Popovich, that Popovich knew all the way back to, I think, Troy in college, that also was an expatriate, and the fact that you get a guy like Kaylee that came from the Patriots as well that knows him. But from an offensive line perspective, dare I say, not a lot of people besides Cam Robinson, Noah, and Titus Howard, they're not, and the guys that were here last year, they don't know a lot of the new guys, and they're not feeling super confident that what Andrews just said is something that's doable.
Okay, well, yeah. Agreed. But was anybody else a little worried when he goes,
Yes.
We're going to protect C.J. Stroud
or whoever's back there.
I was like, what?
Because we're going to get him killed.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, what? Why would you say that? Don't put that evil on me, Ricky Bobby.
I had to pause as soon as
Why
he said it when I heard it this morning.
Say that out loud. No. That's like the Secret Service being like, well, we're going to protect the president or the vice president or whoever's in charge. Like, what? Don't say that. Don't say it like that. That's crazy. That scared me to death. I also like the fact that he was like, yeah, we're going to run the football. That's what we do. We're going to pound the rock, but we're also going to throw it. We're going to air it out. We're going to run the football. So we're going to run it, throw it. We're going to pass it. We're going to fake it. We're going to not fake it.
100% of the time, they will do one of those things.
Yeah, we're going to do a lot. We're going to play offense is what we're going to do. We're going to pass and throw and run and fake and reverse and not reverse and
kick
all the things. Like, okay.
We're going to three phases, you know?
Yeah.
Football things.
Thanks for the insight. What?
I don't know if you guys would agree with this, but there's also part of me of like, I'd rather him be confident and have bravado and say, you know, they're going to know if they play the Houston Texans on Monday. I'd rather him say that than, yeah, I mean, we're going to suck. But at the same time, like, Jake Andrews, who's done what in the NFL? Like, I don't know if that's the guy that I needed sending the message. Like, if Cam Robinson or Titus Howard or someone with, I guess, some, you know, standing around the league and come out and said, no, we this is the group this year, that's one thing. But Jake Andrews, like, you just got here, bro.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if you're the messenger.
That, and here again, to my initial point about how the fans feel about this, you just took someone off of someone else's scrap heap that they decided they didn't need anymore. Suddenly he's your starting center. That's fixing your offensive line. That's better than what you had a year ago. No, it doesn't say anything about Juice Scruggs or Patterson or the fact that they were supposed to upgrade this offensive line in the offseason, and you basically got rid of three-fifths of the line, and the people were fine with that as long as who you replaced them with were adequate replacements. And right now, I don't feel like anybody feels like they're adequate replacements.
Yeah. And you got, you know, new signal caller. You've got, so what, you've got, I don't know, there's so many variables. You're not at full strength in the receiving core. Yeah, you've got rookies coming in. It's just, I don't know. I will say this.
You don't sound optimistic.
Well, I'll say this. The one thing I am optimistic about is I think what happened in that interview, there was a tell in there, and obviously we're joking about them. Oh, we're going to run the ball, and we're going to pass the ball, and we're going to fake the run and throw, and we're going to fake a throw and run it, and we're going to – I mean, you know, we made jokes about that. But I think he gave away what this offense – what you can expect from this team. They're going to be really run heavy. And I think that's what this Texans – what Texans fans can expect from this team, at least early on. Because, one, I think they know what their deficiencies are. You know, and it's pass pro. It's been pass pro.
Well, they're a better run blocking team than they were pass
pro. And I think you'll see, you know, zone runs a lot more, which makes life a little bit easier. But
I think that could go the opposite way.
You think so?
Yeah. It seems like.
But I just think that you're about to get not necessarily 3 yards in a cloud of dust, but it's just going to be
D'Amico has said
ball control, run oriented. I don't want to say boring. But not as flashy as C.J. Stroud year one, at least until things start to click and mesh and we really see what these rookie receivers are and this offensive, you know, play calling is. And so maybe second half of the season they you know, take the training wheels off and we get some flash. But I expect the first half of this season to be pretty conservative.
See, I understand.
And I'm okay with that.
I understand where you're coming from. But what I'm saying is D'Amico has come out adamantly in the past that we're going to run the football. So to your point, he's always going to want to run the football. He wants to be a run-dominant team.
Well, he's a defensive mind,
but he has to have the resources to be able to do that. He has to have an offensive line that's going to block the way the – even if it's last year's team, because not all those guys are here. A majority of those guys aren't. But the fact is on top of that, there's a million different ways to win a football game. If your defense is what we think their defense is going to be, then if you can run the football, you don't have to sling it all over the yard and be an explosive offense because your defense sets you up to be extremely good in this league with the talent that they have.
Yeah. But I also think, too, your offseason moves, Chubb, I mean, you're basically telling everybody that you have the defense and, you know, adding Chubb, you're basically saying we're going to control the ball. We're going to take the ball out of your hands.
But they spent two early draft picks on wide receivers. Yeah.
Well, that's because they know that, you know, I mean.
And they traded for Christian Kirk.
Right, but they didn't. They know that, well, I mean, you lose Tank Dell, and you had to replace him with something. And you lost Stephon Diggs, so you had to replace him with something.
Fair.
So you didn't replace Tank but Dell.
But you added
Tank
Chubb
Dell
as a backup. You know that
right,
you,
but it's
you needed a running back number two.
Yeah, and but you added depth, and you hope that it's quality depth, and you don't know if it's going to be, but you hope that it is, and you hope that if he's it is what he's supposed to be and can be, then you've got a, not necessarily a two-headed monster, but pretty close, and that makes you a run-oriented football team that can stop the other team, take the ball out of their hands, and keep their offense off the field. And that's a recipe for success, especially in the postseason. So it might not be flashy. It might not be sexy. You might be looking at a lot of 21-17 games.
Well, it's like, I mean,
but
if,
I'll take
if,
it if
you
this
are
means,
right.
I'll take it if this means this team gets past the first round of the playoffs. I'll
yeah, but
take
if you're right, it's like the Astros this year. The Astros went from, you know, big-time offense and you know, and massive starters to the fact that they win games with defense. They can play small ball when they have to. They win close games, and they've got great pitching. And I think that from a Texans perspective, that's why I said there's a million different ways to win a game. If your defense is as good as some people think that they can be, and I'm one of them that think they think it can be top five or higher,
but yeah, I agree.
Then you can be a little bit more conservative. So we got plenty more to get to. We've got more on the plate, but we can always get what's on your mind off your chest. 713-780-3776. Call, text, hit us up on Twitch, Twitter. You can hit us up on Twitch. We won't answer you. Twitter and or YouTube. It is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 FM.
All right, but before we go to break, one more time, got to tell you about what's going on with Old Humble Distilling Company. And rather you're going to come out and join us here at McCormick & Schmick's today, or maybe go out to East River 9 tomorrow, make sure you ask for Old Humble Distilling by name, because the Boomtown Bourbon that their owner Joe brought out for me to try back in May is the finest whiskey I've ever had. It's award-winning, small-batch Texas whiskeys that are the real deal, unique to the Gulf Coast, approachable, premium, and handcrafted, unlike the big factory whiskeys that you tried before. And really cool thing they have going now, a new way to try their products, and that's with a scavenger hunt. So if you live in the Humble, Kingwood, Atascocita area, or anywhere near the north side, get ready because the Boomtown Bourbon Hunt is on. Hit the bars, crack the clues, earn the coin, and tell the tale. Start your legend today. There are 8 hidden Boomtown Bourbon stops across the Humble area. The clues can be found at oldhumbledistilling.com or at the Old Humble Distilling Company. Solve the clues, sip the cocktails, and move on to the next stop. Then return to Old Humble Distilling Company to claim your legendary challenge coin, which unlocks a 3-month Roughneck Social Club membership and a free cocktail every week. Be legendary and join the hunt. It's free to play. All are welcome, but please drink responsibly. Old Humble Distilling Company. Go to their distillery and taste room at 19103 Continental Parkway, just off FM 1960, especially on Fridays for their date night special. Try Old Humble Distilling Company, because life's too short for factory whiskey.
ESPN 97.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You look great. What have you been doing?
I found Zelthy. If you qualify, their providers can prescribe the same active ingredients in Ozempic and other expensive GLP-1s for 80 to 90% less without insurance. All of mine shipped right to your door.
Get started with Zelthy today for just $39. Call pound 250 and say keyword CARE. That's CARE to pound 250.